This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kelms. Pleased to have back in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Bill Smith, our history doctor. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
All right. I want to ask you about Linsanity. In case someone might not know, Linsanity created when a basketball player for the New York Knicks, Jeremy Lin, suddenly emerged as this star really over the course of a few games in the middle of winter and became a pro celebrity. Developed the name Linsanity. Now, the second coming of a pro sports celebrity in the past few months with a New York tie, Tim Tebow. He is now a New York Jet. So how does this all relate, I wanted to know, Bill, to American history? Have we had this sort of thing before?
Well, you know, Jeremy Lin's story, apparently the media had never seen the movie Rudy.
About a kid, a walk-on at Notre Dame.
Because in the sports world, Lin is one of the mother fables that underpins the American sports culture, the walk-on All-American. Just because, in this case, the All-American had to be of Asian-American extraction, he didn't come from nowhere. It's because he made his breakout for the Knicks rather than the Dallas Mavericks.
Or
the
Golden
team,
State Warriors.
Well, that's the team that literally had given him this previous shot.
Right.
He will now live on as another Wally Pipp metaphor.
Ah, Wally Pipp, one of my favorite sports figures, because one day he had a headache, told his manager he didn't want to play first base.
That's right. Or he got benched by his manager, depending on which of the stories you want to
right.
believe. But nevertheless, there's a New York Yankee that becomes a part of American sports annals. It's all about being in New York when some of these things happen. They are just a part of our history. They happen over and over and over, and there's very little different out of it.
And we should point out to people that when Wally Pipp was benched, somebody named Lou Gehrig.
His career turned out okay.
Yes. Started that game and would play for another 2,000 plus. Okay, let me get back to Tim Tebow, because he is, to me, an interesting figure, and what goes on around him is interesting. How does he work into this story historically?
Well, he is the media dream of a unique story and a forceful personality. But as a figure of sports history, or frankly history, he just represents the rebellion of youth.
Tim Tebow represents the rebellion of youth.
Yes.
Tim Tebow, who the last thing I would think about anyone describing Tim Tebow is the rebellion of youth. He seems to me to be the antithesis of the rebellion of youth. Please explain yourself, sir.
And that's exactly why he is what he is, because he is the antithesis of the older generation's mindset toward public religiosity, mm-hmm. toward the role of a young sports star in some of these ways. He says things that may be viewed as politically incorrect because of his religious views.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, he is, in the classic sense, as difficult as it is to see, the youth rebelling against the man, even though his rebellion is about as conservative and straight-laced as it can be. You know, you look at his level of religious fervor, it is reactive to the boomer generation, and particularly the boomer generation that has a lot to do with the media, mm-hmm. so that those unabashed opinions are viewed as childish, or at worst viewed as narrow-minded, and he becomes the subject of Saturday night skits,
mm-hmm.
and becomes sneered at by the elites that mm-hmm. may see themselves as better. On the celebrity level, I want you to make sure you're seated, because if you found that Tim Tebow was the youth rebellion was a problem, when I tell you that he's the next Joe Namath, you're going to be equally shocked.
Joe Namath, who went to the New York Jets, of course, and
yes.
famously won the Super Bowl, but he
yes.
was a playboy. He was a bon vivant.
Exactly. He was the youth rebel against the straight
okay, the counterculture.
Culture of the 1960s New York City. Broadway Joe, the swinger.
The anti-Don Draper.
Yes. He was a shock to the button-down world of New York in his own way now, mm-hmm. I think you can
mm-hmm.
see. Tim Tebow's unapologetic approach to his lifestyle is the similar shock on the other end of the spectrum.
And I think we're getting close to your point.
Yes. I wouldn't reach for the presentism card that we like to play as much with the media and how they view Tebow and what's going to be happening next to him. Is to just say they see him as new and unique, and they're having a little fashion amnesia.
Fashion amnesia.
Tebow and his celebrity may signal for us, and now we're getting into some deeper historical context, another great awakening phase in America's Christian culture.
Great awakening, capital G, capital A.
Capital G, capital A. Tebow makes rock star-like appearances. He went to a Texas megachurch for the Easter holiday, prompting the local preacher to make the comment that in the world of religion right now, you have the Pope and you have Tim Tebow.
The Great Awakening took place a century or so ago, right?
Well, that depends on what you define as America and what you define as capital G, capital A, Great Awakening.
Okay.
We have as many as four of these waves of religiosity that have come across the colonies through the American experience. And perhaps now we're in the middle of a fifth of these religious enthusiasms.
Okay.
The terms most associated, though, with the 19th century and the starting point for many of our current American Christian religious dominations, the second Great Awakening, which many will say the first because the first happened during the colonial period. That's why I say it depends on how you're going to define your America. But the Seventh-day Adventists, the Church of Christ, the Latter-day Saints emerged in the early 1800s and became driving forces in things like abolitionism prior to the Civil War. The latter half of the 1800s saw another great rise in religious fervor, and this was the era of the great circuit-riding preachers like Dwight Moody and the concept of the revival. It sparked the social gospel movement, which fueled progressive reforms in the late 19th and early 20th century. So, you know, when you see a Tebow and the way he addresses that congregation in Texas, the open field, the rock star-like staging, again, it's not new. He just becomes the modern-day inheritor of the Chautauqua movement.
The Chautauqua movement. Now, we've talked about this before. That was a sort of circuit for great talkers.
Exactly. It started in upstate New York. It's on the shore of Chautauqua Lake.
That's the name.
And it was the idea of pitching a tent for adult education, which quickly spread into the religious area. Across the country, communities would compete to host speakers in the Chautauqua style, ranging from William Jennings Bryant,
who I think came to a Chautauqua in Northwest Arkansas, actually.
You are correct. He mixed his own brand of populism and politics with religion and reform. It was entertainment in the pre-mass media age. It was education, and it was enlightenment, all rolled into one. You'd have a Mark Twain, and you'd have a former president, Ulysses S. Grant, as the stars on these Chautauqua tours.
So is Tebow, are you suggesting then he's part of another Great Awakening?
Well, this will depend on whether you view the 70s, the rise of PTL, the televangelists as a Great Awakening, that fourth wave of Great Awakening. Then perhaps you could say, you know, that faded a bit in the 80s and certainly into the 90s. And perhaps here in the 21st century, you've got a new Great Awakening beginning again. But you do have to admit that you have made it into the American cultural consciousness when you can become a gerund.
To Tebow.
Now, as an athlete,
should we explain to folks what, in case they don't know, to Tebow is to take that pose like he does after a great
fight? Yes, exactly. As an athlete, the jury is still out on Tebow. He may become another sports archetype, the great collegian who couldn't cut it in the pros. I'll name Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson, a couple of other SEC stars as examples. Robert Johnson III may be the next. A Bobby Hurley or a Steve Alford, who led their teams to national championships in basketball, but then did not even reach a Jeremy Lin stage in the NBA.
Quickly, I want to, you know, this you talking reminds me of a star from the late 19th century named Billy Sunday, who in the early days of organized baseball was a star, great hitter, and then he left. He walked away from baseball to become a preacher, and he was quite the draw for a while.
And was very much a part of that latter half of the 19th century Great Awakening movement. He was a star on the circuit.
Well, until Tim Tebow is cut or leads the Jets past the Colts into the Super Bowl,